This morning's reading is called Power of Blessing by Rachel Naomi Freeman. We bless the life around us far more than we realize. Many simple, ordinary things that we do can affect those around us in profound ways. The unexpected phone call, the brief touch, the willingness to listen generously, the warm smile or wink of recognition. We can even bless total strangers and be blessed by them. Big messages come in small packages. All it may take to restore someone's trust in life may be returning a lost earring or a dropped glove. A woman once told me that she did not feel the need to reach out to those around her because she prayed every day. Surely this was enough. But a prayer is about our relationship with God. A blessing is about our relationship to the spark of God in one another. God may not need our attention as badly as a person next to us on the bus or behind us online in the supermarket. Everyone in the world matters, and so do their blessings. When we bless others, we offer them refuge from an indifferent world.
Thank you, Marie. So welcome to June, even though it doesn't feel like June yet. And a new theme for our service, this month's theme being blessing. Blessing, I know, is a word that makes many of us feel a little uncomfortable. And I want to explore that this morning by looking at the meaning of blessing in three different contexts. The first and the oldest of these uses the word blessing as it comes from the Bible as a kind of divine intervention, really an intervention to control human behavior, if you read between the lines, and more on that in a minute. The second is a more secular way of looking at blessing. It's more a matter of fate. Some of us are blessed and some of us are not. And it often begins with circumstances of our birth over which we have no control. Just the way of the world, a matter of luck more than anything else. And finally, most importantly, I want to explore a blessing as something that we're called upon by our Unitarian Universalist faith to bestow on others. So let's start with the oldest reference to blessings that I know of, and it comes from a practice of the empires of the ancient Middle East, at least 3,500, 4,000 years ago. At that time, a pact or agreement would be drawn up between two nations that were in conflict to settle the conflict. And there was a way of enforcing that conflict. And that would be the promise of blessings if the parties adhered to the terms, and curses if they did not. The parties involved would erect monuments, usually stone cairns, to seal the deal. And the terms of the agreement would be read aloud annually at these locations. So there was a covenant between these competing countries that said, here's how we've resolved things. We promise to do the following things. If we don't, we will suffer these curses. If we do, we will reap these blessings. And every year, that commitment would be renewed. The cartoon on the cover of the Order of Service this morning comes from a Jewish magazine, and it reflects that passage from the Torah in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28, historically attributed to Moses. Before I proceed, let me be clear that most scholars today see the story of the entry of the Israelites into the Promised Land as just that, as a story, and not a record of historical events. But stories can be much more powerful than a record of historical events. So as the story goes, before they could enter the promised land, Moses commanded his people to create two stone monuments as soon as they arrived on the two highest mountains in Israel to commemorate their covenant with God. On one mountain, Gerizim, they were to erect a monument to the blessings that would come to them if they remained in covenant with their God. And on Mount Ebal, they would erect a monument that would spell out all the curses that would befall them if they broke that covenant. See, this is the baggage that we carry today with that word blessing. The source of the unease that we feel about the word blessing. Blessing is a form of coercion. Something you have to earn. Something that if you do the right thing, you will receive, and if you do the wrong thing, you will be cursed. I suspect that many of us are more comfortable with that second context for blessings. We see them as something that are just kind of a matter of fate, something that we may not have any control over. We can see something of blessings, and we can see some things as blessings and other things as curses, but we don't associate them with any divine intervention. So I was driving to New Brunswick thinking about the sermon today and trying to promote some discussion in the car about what I was going to talk about, maybe get some ideas. And I was looking for help, for ideas with the sermon, and I was amused by how we can look at things around us one way or the other. We can see them as blessings, or we can see them as curses. So those of you who have made that trip many times, you know, as you come into the Tantramar Marsh, suddenly there's these great, huge windmills turning in the wind. And they ask the question, windmills, blessing or curse? I mean, they can be a blessing because they generate green power. But for migrating birds, they're not so much a blessing. So I want to play a little game with you now, if you'll cooperate. And I don't want you to overthink this, please. I know you're Unitarian Universalists, and you're not going to do anything until you've thought through completely what your appropriate response is. I just want you to go with your immediate gut reaction, please. When I describe something, I want you to hold up your hand at the appropriate time. So here's a few. Family is a blessing. Or is it a curse? Social media as a blessing. Social media as a curse. That's something to do with the age in the room, I think. Taxes as a blessing. Taxes as a curse. So here's an interesting one. Fossil fuels as a blessing.
What?
And fossil fuels as a curse.
Yep.
They're getting more difficult. Global warming as a blessing.
It's kind of cold, isn't it? But if you're in India, it's not so cold.
Global warming as a curse. I can't resist saying, I put it down as a blessing because I've been thinking about how it's uniting people around the world to say there's something bigger than national boundaries and there's something more important than our each country's role. And lastly, and perhaps most profoundly, death as a blessing and death as a curse. When it comes in its time. So on reflection, I think you get the message. There are two sides to each of these. I can feel the resistance of naming each item either a blessing or a curse. They're neither strictly a blessing or a curse. They're simply the stuff of our lives. The things that we're called on to respond to and to live with, each is a challenge and each is an opportunity. The choice we have is how we choose to see these things in our life. I had this collegial discussion with my colleagues group of ministers that meet here on Wednesdays. And I was saying, one of the things I have difficulty with as a minister is that my life has been blessed in so many ways that sometimes when I'm talking about people that are suffering the equivalent of a curse, I have a hard time identifying with them. And my colleague said, you know, what you see someone's curse, they may not see as a curse at all. And what you see as a blessing in your life, others may see as a curse. I'm thinking of my unending optimism sometimes, which I think is a blessing, and some people tell me it's a curse. So now I want to get more serious and turn this to a more personal and I think profound use of the idea of blessing. This is how and when and if you can bestow a personal blessing on another person, be another human being in the world. This is one way that blessing enters into our lives. See, there was a time, for example, not long ago, when a young man sought the blessing of his future father-in-law before a wedding could take place. He would ask, "May I have your blessing in this marriage?" This wasn't just asking for approval. It was seeking affirmation. Affirmation that the suitor was worthy. An acknowledgement that the father-in-law would be personally invested in the relationship. So this is an example that's getting closer this morning to what I want to talk about in the context of blessing. Matthew Fox speaks of the spiritual connection that comes with a blessing. He wrote, "Blessings involve relationship. One doesn't bless without investing something of oneself into the receiver of one's blessing. And one does not receive a blessing oblivious of the gracious giver. A blessing spirituality is a relating spirituality." So one of the things I wasn't particularly well prepared for as a minister, and I studied in seminary, but I don't remember this ever coming up, I'm occasionally asked to bestow a blessing on someone. When this happens, it's often someone who is suffering, someone on the margins, someone who is struggling, someone who may be in pain. And I remember the first time this happened. They say it wasn't something I'd been prepared for, and I felt conflicted because I had this baggage of what a blessing was. Who was I to be blessing anyone? I have no special powers. I'm just another human being trying to make sense of the world and all of its injustices. But I felt called, and I followed my gut. We found a quiet place. I held the other person's hands. I looked as steadily as I could into their eyes. And I sincerely affirmed my respect for them and for their struggles, their right to happiness, their humanity, and the profound and deep beauty of the person before me. It was awkward. I was awkward. And yet it felt right and it felt good. When I do this now, it's still not easy. But I understand better the power that I have to grant a blessing. And it's a power that we all have. It doesn't bring down divine intervention, but simply affirms our relationship and our connection, our recognition of our common humanity. My affirmation for the dignity of another human being and my willingness to help to the extent that I can. Henry Nouwen has written, "To give someone a blessing is the most significant affirmation we can offer. It's more than a word of praise or appreciation. It's more than pointing out someone's talents or good deeds. It's more than putting someone in the light. To give a blessing is to affirm, to say yes to a person's belovedness." Here I repeat words from the opening reading. Everyone in the world matters, and so do their blessings. When we bless others, we offer them refuge from an indifferent world. That's not too much to ask for, to grant someone refuge from an indifferent world. Perhaps many of you will not have the opportunity to bestow a blessing in the direct way that I was asked to. But that kind of blessing, while important, is only a start. A real blessing goes beyond words into action. We all have the opportunity to bless someone every day with our actions. Reaching out to someone with that unexpected phone call. A gentle touch of a hand. A smile. A willingness to listen generously and patiently. That's something I find myself having to work on. I'm so busy, I'm rushing from here to there, and someone wants to talk, and I don't grant them the time. This is the stuff of blessing. The affirming of another human being. We've all done this. We all know people in this congregation who are particularly good at it. It's powerful stuff. It's the power to profoundly change lives, change personal destinies, and I suspect, change history. But we hesitate. Too often we hold back because, as Matthew Fox has said, blessing involves relationship. One doesn't bless without investing something of oneself into the receiver of one's blessing. Our sincere blessings call on us to engage with the other, and we may not be willing to make that commitment. But the practice of becoming a blessing to others can change your life. It's a profound spiritual practice. And like all practices, we can become better, more proficient, more effective when we engage mindfully and with conviction and with our eyes wide open. When you live with the intention of being a blessing, you're willing to extend yourself for the spiritual growth of another human being. And that begins with affirming the worth of the other and offering them refuge. So many people need that refuge. Refuge in the face of a seemingly indifferent world. May you become the blessing that you seek to find in the world. May it be so. Amen.